Whether you're leaving work, cruising around town, or listening on demand, we've still got some fun left for you. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show has been on the air since 1995 and is ready for 60 more minutes of fun. Now, let's get this hour of sports call started.
Third and final hour of sports call starting right now. Tiger 95.9, Ryan Lavoie, Brooks Childress, TP Hammock with you here on this Friday. Brant Daughtry has been joining us as well as we had our live watch party for Auburn and South Carolina in the SEC tournament. A very victorious day for the Auburn Tigers. They smack South Carolina 86-55. Got a couple phone calls lined up here on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line, so let's get to them. 334-887-3401 locally or toll free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. First up here in hour number three,
James from Montgomery.
James is with us. James, how are you today?
I'm good. And War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Yeah, I know that we are so happy to see history being made once again in Nashville. I was on the edge of my seat, watching this game, and I'm hoping that Auburn would actually make it to the March Madness tournament. So I'm just going to see what tomorrow will bring for Bruce Pearl and Denier Broome and Katie Johnson. I mean, they look like NBA stars as well.
Yeah, Auburn certainly wrecked South Carolina today, and of course we already knew they'd end up making the NCAA tournament. They will hear their name called on Sunday. But yeah, it's awesome to continue to advance through your conference tournament and to be able to see one-seeded Tennessee lose. I think Auburn's going to have an excellent chance at it tomorrow as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, just like before the game started, I know Bruce Pearl was actually talking with the team, and he was actually saying that this win is going to be very hard to hold on right now. But we got like six more games in the tournament before the big dance as well.
Yeah, again, they've got this SEC tournament here, and hopefully they'll have two more games here and be able to beat Mississippi State and advance to the final and have a chance to win the SEC tournament here. But yeah, it's all important basketball this time of year, and Auburn is certainly playing well.
Yes, as well, because I'm actually going to be looking at Alabama and Florida. I'm hoping that would be a really good matchup with the Florida Gators. I know they're going to, I guess they're going to take a bite out of Alabama. So I think that's going to be a really good thing to see Florida advance. And I do have Florida winning, and I'm hoping that I'll put Florida in my March Madness bracket this time around as well.
Yeah, Florida is another team that will absolutely make the NCAA tournament. I think they'll probably be somewhere around a six seed, somewhere in there, maybe a seven.
They are projected to be a eight seed.
Sure.
Oh,
maybe they'll end up getting higher, though. That's just one projection of it, but we'll see where they end up. But I think certainly in the NCAA tournament, we'll see if they can beat Alabama, too. They had one close game with them in Tuscaloosa, and then they definitely beat them pretty easily in Gainesville, so this will be the rubber match. We'll see how it goes.
Yes, as well, because I'm actually doing a lot of March Madness homework, so I'm very I'm looking at like some games I'm going to put in my March Madness bracket. I'm actually going to put in for this year. I'm going to put in a four number one seed and see who's going to actually go from those four to the Elite Eight, and then to the Sweet 16, and then to the championship in March Madness as well.
Yeah, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Final Four, that sort of thing. Yes, there will be four one seeds there. And, again, all that will be announced with the selection show on Sunday evening.
Yeah, so I will be watching that as well. And with the women's side of things, I'm actually looking at to see if Auburn is going to advance and see on Selection Sunday who they are going to be playing as well. I'm hoping it will be like South Carolina or North Carolina or maybe Duke at those major spots as well.
Yeah, they will not be playing South Carolina in the first round. They're going to keep conference opponents away from each other, but maybe North Carolina would make some sense, maybe a 6-11 or 7-10 game, something like that. Mm-hmm. But we will also find that out. That will be Sunday night.
Yeah, so I'm going to be watching that one on Sunday night. And I know that South Carolina, I know they had some different things that was going on between South Carolina and LSU, so they're still working on that. They're trying to work that out very, very quickly as well before Sunday's game. I mean, Sunday's selection show. So I think they're going to they're actually going to see what's been said or what's been done at a high time state, you know, between LSU and South Carolina. So they're just trying to work that out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is on your mind today?
Well, I'm actually covering so much NFL news. Did y'all hear about Super Bowl champion, somebody actually from the Rams team just signed their retirement as well? I think it's Aaron Donald.
Yes, Aaron Donald did retire this morning.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he should stay as a Ram for another season, but I think he's going to really look good in the NFL Hall of Fame in 2029. So that would be really good for him to actually get a gold jacket. And I'm hoping he'll be with some of the other legendary Rams players before him as well.
Yeah, he will absolutely be on be a first ballot Hall of Famer in 10 Pro Bowls in 10 years. The best D tackle in the sport for probably 8 or 9 of those 10 years. He was an awesome player. The Rams will certainly miss him. He was still playing great football, but he has already earned the money he needs. He has all the accolades he needs, and he's retiring a little younger, so the Rams will miss him, but truly a great player.
Yes, as well. And then with my Dallas Cowboys, Michael Gallup has left the team, and with Michael Gallup leaving the team, Van Der Esch left the team as well. So they're a free agent. So I'm hoping that they will go and take their career somewhere else. And I wish them all the best of luck. I'm hoping that they would, you know, I know when they're a Cowboy fan or a player, I know it's going to be hard for us as Cowboy fans to see somebody like that go as well. Cause I mean, I'm still going to put, Michael Gallup in my fantasy league this year, but I know it's going to hurt me as well to see one of my great players leave me from my Cowboy fan, you know, experience that I've had so many years with Michael Gallup as well.
Yeah, sometimes off-season cuts are a part of it, trying to get under the cap and free up cap space. So I know Gallup and Leighton Vander Esch were quality players for sure, but some cap casualties there, and the Cowboys do need to make some more moves this offseason.
Yeah, so I'm just going to see who they're going to pick before April. I know there's going to be some great players that I'm looking at. I'm still looking at from last week from the NFL Scouting Combine. I'm hoping that the Cowboys might pick one of our guys from Auburn as well.
Yeah, we will see. It could be a mid- or late-round draft pick there. The Auburn guys will be going somewhere in that range, so we'll see which teams pick them up. Any final thoughts for us today, James, before we have to move on to our next caller?
The only final thoughts I actually have is I would like to see Auburn take this game to Mississippi State, and we're actually going to keep it. We're going to keep the fire rolling on this one as well. So we're going to crank this one up tomorrow. So I'll just have to tell y'all how this game is going to really look. So it's going to be a lot of fireworks going on in Nashville as well.
We certainly hope so. We certainly Auburn can duplicate this performance from today and have another great win.
All right, sounds good, and I'll talk to y'all guys on Monday. War Eagle.
War Eagle, that is James from Montgomery joining us on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. Let's head right back to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line, 334-887-3401 locally, or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Next up,
War Damn Steve.
Retired War Damn Steve is back with us. Steve, good to hear from you again. A great Auburn victory to talk to you about, and hope you are still doing very well on this Friday.
I'm very sober. I didn't throw anything at the TV set, and they used no profanities. So I'm feeling war damn good.
So you also had a great outing then.
Yes. All right, guys, I want to get your takeaways. My observation is I was hoping for a double, you know, digit win. Did I think it'd be anywhere near the 40-point win? No. No way. For them, you got 31 points. Well, that was a statement win, guys. And I'm looking at Janiah Broome, a double-double today.
Yeah, it was a statement win, and I did not think it would approach the deficit of the first game either, but to win by 31, as you said, I think that was a statement. The energy and effort were awesome. They won in just about every single part of the game. It was a great performance.
Defensively, they were outstanding. The halftime score was 46-26. Well, South Carolina only scored 29 points in the second half.
Yeah, and you look at South Carolina ending up below 30% from the field, 25% from three. Auburn did an excellent job. South Carolina scored nearly half their points from the free throw line. They had 20 right. of their 55 points free throw line. So Auburn did a wonderful job defensively.
In fact, I'm thinking right now, were it not for the free throw percentage that they did, we probably would have won by the same spread. 40 points. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that was the – I mean, South Carolina outscored Auburn by 11 from the foul line because they shot some more free throws, and then Auburn did not shoot well themselves from the foul line. So foul line, I guess, could have made this a 40-point game, but certainly was a romping either way.
I mean, I just thought, you know, I knew we'd have a hard game, but I did not think Carolina was going to play this badly again, guys. Was it them playing badly, or our team just made them look bad?
Well, I think South Carolina is good to a point. I think they do a good job with their defense and their physicality of playing teams at or below their level, but it seemed that they've been in over their head playing Auburn this year, and I think that Auburn is the better team. I also just think for whatever reason the matchup has been good for Auburn, so I think those two things have combined because I normally would not think – you know, I think South Carolina is probably about the 30th best team in the country, somewhere in there, between 25 and 35. And so I would not think that the 10th or 12th or whatever best team Auburn is should be beating the 30th best team by 30 and 40 points. So I think it's a combination, yes, of Auburn being better, but also Auburn just has their number a little bit this year. They've not been fazed by South Carolina's physicality. In fact, Auburn has still seemed to be maybe the more physical team, and then Auburn's more dynamic. They're more dynamic offensively. They have so many players they can go to. They're deeper. They're a better team, and it's been a matchup problem.
And guys, look at the stats here: 47%. I mean, that to me is incredulous from the 3-point line. Of course, 53% the free throw line was also I hope to God that doesn't maintain itself. But how about points off turnovers? 17 to their 2.
Yeah, and Auburn took great care of it. I mean, again, we would go through the stat line. I would say that, you know, the 9 of 17, you did have 5 of 11 coming from Cardwell, so you only got 6 free Cardwell and Broome, excuse me, so you only had 4 of 6 from the other guys, so really not a large sample size there. But, yeah, the points off turnovers, Auburn did a wonderful job there. They did just simply a good job not turning the ball over. Only 5 Auburn turnovers all game was a great performance.
And that really isn't, that to me is uncharacteristic, 5 turnovers for the whole game.
Sure. I mean, just Auburn has not been uncharacteristic to take care of the ball. They have been a top 50 or 60 team in taking care of the ball all season long. But, yeah, 5, no one averages 5 turnovers a game. So they were still below their already good average, and they really valued the basketball.
Yeah, I think I remember reading somewhere where Auburn for the season had been averaging around 11 turnovers.
Yeah, it'd been in between 10 and 11. Depending on the day, but that still had ranked for most of the season top 50 or top 60.
And 18 assists and 42 points in the paint to them 22. Okay, wow. Now, I don't know who you guys were surprised by in terms of players. I did expect KD Johnson to show up and scored 11 points. I mean, KD, as much as he gets in trouble. 10 points there. And how about Mr. Aiden Holloway? 9 points.
Yeah, Aiden Holloway was solid. Again, 9 points and 5 rebounds for one, maybe the smallest player on the team. I thought that Chaney Johnson, again, we've been talking a lot about him the last couple weeks. He's really stepped up. He has played wonderful the last 5, 6, 7 games now. So he has not had a game in the last 6 games where he's been below 50% from the floor. He's been able to impact things, not only scoring, but he's also had some rebounding. He also has had some really good assist numbers, and even having 3 more assists a day for a power forward off the bench. That just doesn't happen a lot in college basketball. So Chaney's been on a really good run here.
And there was one person that I said, wow, what happened to him today? And I'm talking about Jalen Williams, 3 points. Usually you expect double-digit points from him. Guys, what do you think happened to Jalen today?
I just think he wasn't really needed, and that maybe South Carolina guarded him okay, and Jalen Williams is intelligent enough as a basketball player to not force things that they don't need to be forced. So usually you go to your go-to guys in a close game and you say you're the guys that need to be the tough shot makers, but there was really no reason for Jalen Williams to take tough shots today, so he just didn't do it. So he was 1 of 2. It's not like he had a poor game and bricking a bunch of shots. He just was not aggressive, didn't need to be aggressive today.
Yeah, you're right, because I observed he really wasn't taking many shots.
Yeah, I mean, 1 of 2. I mean, yeah, he didn't. But he didn't need to be aggressive, though, again, with everyone clicking on all cylinders. Again, this was really a team performance that did not need the individuals to have huge big games. It was a very collective game there.
All right, guys, about tomorrow's game. It's at noon. Now, what would you – you're my prognosticator. You're usually really close with the Vegas people. What would you make the line? What do you think – what would you make the line? What do you think Vegas' line is going to be?
I would think that it would be somewhere in the range of what the game was today. I think, what was it, 7, 7.5, something like that?
7.5, yeah. It went up to 8.5 and it went back down.
I think somewhere in that same range. I think it'd be maybe 6.5 instead of 7.5, something like that, maybe 7. But I think the way this Auburn team is playing should be valued. I understand that Auburn did lose one game to Mississippi State. However, they came back to home and beat them by 15. So you win by 15 at home. You lose a close one on the road. I think that amounts to 6, 7 points again.
Okay. I was going to make 8.5. My son said it's going to be around 4, 4.5. I thought that was kind of low. You think it'll be that low?
That feels a little low. I know they try to value conference tournament games, neutral floors. They don't try to get too frisky with their lines, but I think the way Auburn played today, to be fair, the way Mississippi State played today was very impressive too. So if you're going off the logic of just today, I certainly could see it being closer, but I still would go off of, okay, if both teams are playing in the same form, let's look at earlier season results. And you look at the fact Auburn did win by 15 just a few days ago, pretty much, just a week or two ago. They lost by 6. Okay, that would be about a 5 or 6 point average there. So I don't know, but I think it's going to be somewhere in the mid-single digits. I would still lean towards the 6, 6.5 number.
What percentage probability win do you guys give us for the team tomorrow?
Ooh,
I'll start it off.
Yeah, go for
I'll
it.
Go with 75%. I feel pretty confident. I think it helps that you just played this team, what was it, a week and a half ago? I mean, like 2 weeks ago, something like that. It doesn't feel that long ago. Yeah, I would feel really confident in this squad against Mississippi State because, like we said, with our closing thoughts of that game, this is a very similar team to South Carolina. Mississippi State also is coming off of – they played in the 8 or 9 game. You know, they played – you know, yesterday as well. And so that, you know, they're eventually going to get tired. You know, basketball's a tiring sport, and you're eventually going to get fatigued. But, and, you know, they put out a really good effort today. So it'd be easy for them to come off of a, you know, a fallback game. So I feel pretty good about Auburn's chances against Mississippi State tomorrow.
Does anyone else?
I agree with that perspective, yep. too, Brent, because I think it'll be mostly drained from beating up Tennessee.
That was TP.
That was TP.
Okay, TP. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, but I agree with him. I think that 75 to 80% range would be wise. I don't think it's a true 90% or anything like that because it is on a neutral floor. I think if it was at home, Auburn would be around 90%. But yeah, I like that range that TP had.
And a softball game in baseball games are today. Do you see us winning softball and baseball games 2 out of 3 or not?
Well, I don't see us playing the softball game today. It's still been pretty rainy in Auburn, and there's still more rain on the radar. So I'm personally going to be a little surprised if they end up getting that one in. I don't believe I don't believe they're going to end up getting this one played. So they'll probably play a doubleheader tomorrow. They do need to win 2 out of 3, though. I think this is a series they do need to beat Arkansas in. As far as baseball at Vandy, I don't think the Nashville weather is as bad as the Auburn weather. So I think they'll get going there, and I think that you'll probably see some higher scoring games. I think both these teams have not had their best pitching performances so far in non-conference play, but it's going to be a mighty tough challenge. I would just say I would like Auburn to make sure they get just one on the road. Obviously, you'd love to win the series, but Vandy's a top-10 team in the country, so just getting one I think would be okay.
All right. And when do they announce the NCAA women's bracket?
Just an hour or two after the men's tournament. So I think the men's tournament's around 5 o'clock on Sunday or thereabouts, and then the women's tournament should be about 7 or so Sunday night.
Okay. And finally, guys, a non-sports item. I just read today, starting from today until the 17th, you can get a free green Krispy Kreme donut. All you have to do is walk in and wear something green, and they'll give you free, no purchase.
All right, well, I'll find some UAB attire then.
Okay, all right, we'll go with that. All right, guys, you have a safe evening, and enjoy your weekend, and hopefully when I call you back Monday, we'll have won the SEC tournament. Until then, guys, War Eagle.
War Eagle, Steve. We appreciate the phone call. Hope you have a good weekend. That is retired War Dam Steve joining us on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. We are going to head to our first time out of hour number 3. Already starting to wind down. I say already, we've been on since 2:30 today, but back to more of a classic format for this hour. So already starting to get into the later stages of the show today. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Looking for another way to listen to our show? Be sure to download the Tiger Communications app and listen to Sports Call wherever you go. Let's get back to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9. Feel free to give us a call at 334-887-3401 or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9.
Welcome back to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, Ryan Lavoie, T.P. Hammock, Brooks Childress, Brant Daughtry with you here on this Friday. A little less than half an hour left in the program today. Of course, if you were listening earlier, we were having a live breakdown and analysis of Auburn men's basketball as they took on South Carolina and were victorious 86-55. They will play Mississippi State at noon tomorrow. So the SEC semis at noon and 2:30 tomorrow, and then the SEC title game I believe would also be around noon on Sunday. I'll double check that here real quickly. But as we look at the rest of the SEC tournament bracket, again, the nightcaps or the two games tonight is Texas A&M playing Kentucky, and then the nightcap will be Alabama and Florida. With Tennessee out, Auburn advancing, kind of one for one there in terms of the higher remaining seeds. And then A&M, Kentucky, Alabama, and Florida tonight. We'll see how closely Bama and Kentucky get challenged. Do you guys believe it'll be the close ones tonight?
I believe Kentucky's got the offense they need to run away from Texas A&M. I think that game is not going to be too much of a challenge. I think it's kind of a 5-point game at halftime, end with a 10 to 15-point lead, and they win it kind of comfortably. That Alabama-Florida game, Florida handled them pretty good in Gainesville. That was a pretty good thrashing from them. But, Auburn fans are very familiar with how hard it is to win a game in Gainesville. So that game, I don't know. I feel like that's going to be a really good one. I'm glad that that's the nightcap because I've got some stuff I have to go do here over the next hour or so. And I'm glad that I get to watch all of that game. Brooks is miming what the things that I get to do over the next hour or so.
I think that both of these games are going to be interesting. I agree with you, Brant. I think that the Kentucky's offense we've seen has the ability to climb in this one and run away with it. Texas A&M, I think, is one of those teams that, you know, they made it here. They're going to be playing. They need a win or two for the bubble. They're sitting there, and I think that they need this win very, very badly. But I think Kentucky has started to play much better basketball. You saw them go and beat Tennessee last weekend in Knoxville. And so I think that this Kentucky team is starting to hit its stride here as we go through the month of March. And so I think Kentucky probably wins this game comfortably, but not as comfortably as what Auburn did today. And then that Alabama-Florida game, I think, is going to be very, very interesting. It's the rubber match between those two. Alabama obviously winning at home, Florida winning at their home. And so I think that this game really kind of plays into Florida's hands a little bit, that they have a warm-up game playing yesterday against Georgia. I think that that's going to keep them very much competitive in this basketball game. But I think that, you know, you look at how Alabama finished the season. It wasn't the best. It feels like them and Kentucky went opposite ways. Kentucky started conference play kind of rattly and then finished up very well. Alabama started the conference play very good and has finished up, you know, had to go to overtime to beat Arkansas last weekend. Now, granted, they battled back and they were very, very they're very, very persistent in that game and didn't let adversity overtake them, but you had to go to overtime and beat Arkansas at home, and so I think that this game is going to be very, very fun. I think that it could be a 5 or less point finish for whoever wins. I think that whoever wins it, it's going to be very, very close.
Yeah, I think thank you both hit, you know, really good points there with A&M and Kentucky. I don't think A&M's that good. I really don't think they're a tournament team. I think they are a mighty fine NIT team, but I don't think that game will be particularly close. I think Kentucky will probably handle them pretty soundly. I'm way more interested in Alabama versus Florida because first game in Coleman went to overtime, and Florida had plenty of opportunities to win there, just didn't come up with it. Hard place to win at. And then they went down to Gainesville, what was that, last Wednesday? Or Tuesday, last Wednesday or Tuesday or something like that. And Florida just beat the just holy crap out of them. And so it's going to be really interesting. If Florida, the thing about Alabama is their defense is just so bad. I'm looking at it right now on KenPom, and adjusted defense, they rank 107th. And no one in the top 20 is even close to that. So I really don't think Alabama is that good defensively. I don't think that's a hot take at all. I know Florida really punished them inside because I don't think Alabama's bigs are that good at all. And I feel like they're probably going to do the same thing tonight where they're really going to attack them inside. So I think it'll be a good game, but I do think Florida's going to win comfortably.
You know, I hope that the A&M can challenge Kentucky. I think that it's going to be tough because of the form that Kentucky's in. I think it's also tough because A&M is the type of team that is bound to just play poorly offensively just in general, no matter the defense. Now, in January, A&M did beat Kentucky in overtime. It was, of course, in College Station, so venue does have to matter there. But A&M, just one of the more disappointing teams in the league. If they can get this, I think that they have a pretty good bubble case. They do have some quality wins. They beat some of the very best teams in this league. The problem is they had a really bad downside this year. They lost 3 or 4 games to some weak opponents, and A&M is one of those prototypical bubble teams, really, where they've got too many losses against bad teams, but they got a lot of good wins, and they had some expectations. I think they'll ultimately miss the NCAA tournament too. I can't see them pulling it out tonight, but maybe, just maybe, they can fluster Kentucky enough to get them out of rhythm. But I do think Kentucky wins on the easier side of things. And then as for Alabama and Florida, I think this is obviously the game we've been pointing at. I will say Florida's last couple games, not the best. I mean, they did struggle with Georgia last night. They did lose at Vanderbilt to in the regular season. So maybe Florida's starting to fall out of their best form of the season, but it is a team that's given Alabama problems. Again, Florida had an excellent chance to win in Tuscaloosa before losing it late. And as we've talked about numerous times, they put 100 on them. Granted, they shot a million free throws, but they put 100 on them in the regular season in Gainesville. So I do think that this is going to be a very close game. If we get Alabama and Kentucky again, that is going to be 105 to 100 in the semifinals Saturday afternoon, because the game in Rupp back in the month of February was 117 to 95. If you told me that was the Nuggets and Thunder score, I would believe you. It was the Kentucky and Alabama score in Rupp, 117-95. So if you get that game, the over-under on that game could be approaching 200. I mean, seriously. So that one would be high octane. I hate to simplify it for Alabama, but because they are a poor defensive team, because they don't have a lot of options down low, their guards get to the rim pretty well, and they definitely try to shoot a lot of layups. But if they're going to shoot 20 or 25% from three with the volume that they have against another team that is genuinely a good offense, seem like they might get away with that if they're playing Texas A&M or something. But they're not going to get away with shooting 20% from three if they're playing a team like Florida that's going to generate a lot of the types of looks that they want to generate. One thing that I thought of interesting about what happened if Kentucky would lose. We think of big fan bases and we think of Nashville. So not that Vandy would have brought a lot of people, but they're the hometown team. They're out. Tennessee brought a lot of people, as they should, that's in the state of Tennessee. They're out. The other huge brand that travels incredibly well, or there's two others, Arkansas usually travels very well. They're out. And they had a bad year. And that really leaves Kentucky. If Kentucky loses, I would say next up, you're probably going to have as many Auburn or Alabama fans. I would lean towards you're going to have more Auburn fans than anyone else left there in Nashville. So I would be interested to see that. I do think Auburn will have more fans there tomorrow for the Mississippi State game. But if Kentucky were to slip up and lose, yeah, I guess maybe you hang around and just watch basketball. But you're out of the big brand names and big fan bases there that would show up in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, the joke is that Nashville is Auburn North, right? There's a massive Auburn contingency in that city. And I think it was, you know, we did not have the sound on watching the game here today. But if you read what people were saying, Auburn, it sounded like an Auburn home game. It sounded like Neville Arena in Bridgestone right today. So a very large, very loud crowd of Auburn fans are up in Nashville, and I expect that to be a factor regardless of who they're playing. But you're right, if they're not playing a Kentucky or another big brand that travels as well as that brand does, then it's going to be a very Auburn-heavy contingent.
We're down to about 8 or 9 minutes left in the show, so we're going to keep it right here and power through this last segment. We do appreciate Brant Daughtry, you for joining us today on the program. He's got his business to attend to, so he will be on his way out here. But me, Brooks, and TP for the last few minutes. And let's have some general tournament thoughts here. Next time we're on air, we will know the NCAA tournament bracket. Anything that you're interested to see in particular out of Selection Sunday, whether it's seed lines for certain teams or bubble teams, that sort of thing. Just what are you excited or wondering about when it comes to Selection Sunday?
Well, I mean, got to start off with who Auburn's going to face. I think that's the most, you know, thought-provoking one. I know there's a lot of people that, you know, they're not really in the thick of things. They're not looking at the mid-majors. You know, me and Brooks, we love that thing. We live for the mid-majors, you know. So I'm really fascinated by who they're going to make the matchup. And it could be Samford, which Justin Hokanson yesterday came on the show and he said they're just an extremely good team. They're really good. They're very solid. And Justin Ferguson, excuse me. I'm sorry. Good. He's a good.
We love Justin Hokanson too.
Yes, Ferguson, excuse me. But you know, he came on the show and said Samford's a very solid team. I definitely would not want to face them. They're looking at that 13 seed line. Could be McNeese State, but they're looking like a 12 seed. So really interested to see the matchup who Auburn gets. And likewise, I'm interested to just see as a whole. We see it every year where there's a matchup or two or three where you sit there and you circle it. It's a big opponent versus a little guy, and you go, ooh, and you circle that on your bracket, and you're doing the little ESPN picks, and you go, I believe that this team is going to get that. I don't know which team it's going to be, but I know for a fact that's going to happen probably against someone who's playing McNeese State, realistically, where you go, ooh, that's going to be a tough game for that one team. So overall, just really excited for the bracket as a whole, but not really interested in the bubble because – usually those teams don't really go that far. I mean, they can, but they usually don't. But
what was it? We had Syracuse 1 year out of the first four make the final four.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up the last few years, though.
I know UCLA did it in 2021. They were one of them. But, It can. And you know what? Shame on me for saying that. But,
I mean, I wasn't trying to be like that. I was just saying, you know,
I know you weren't. I was just saying, I'm just not really as interested in this group of the bubble teams. I mean, Virginia's one of them.
Yeah,
I can talk about how much I despise Virginia basketball.
Everything, yeah.
No, yeah, but overall, though, just you wait for it all season tournament. You know, you wait whenever college basketball tips off in November, and you wait for it, and it finally gets here. And Selection Sunday is just such a great day, and so really excited about it. Brooks, what are you looking forward to?
Obviously what you guys said, the obvious one is who Auburn's matched up with. The latest Lenardi one that he released at 1:30 a.m. Eastern time last night. The man works just tirelessly. has Auburn taking on Charleston and the Spokane Regionals out of the 4:13 line in the East. And so, that would be a rematch from a couple years ago of Auburn in the NCAA tournament. The rest of them, you know, you're looking at, obviously you've got the last four byes right now with Lenardi, with Michigan State, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, St. John's. You've got to think that Mississippi State win today may have pushed them even further into that tournament.
Yeah, out of the first four, which again, you're the last four in, but that means you're in the first four on Tuesday and Wednesday having to play kind of play-in type games. Mm. You get those last four byes, you avoid that. So that is very much incentive there.
And then, you know, you look at some of these, you know, Michigan State lost today to Purdue, and Oklahoma lost a couple days ago. They're in that last four byes area by him. If you get a team like Virginia, right now the last four in is Seton Hall, Colorado, Virginia, and Texas A&M in Lenardi's latest one. If you get a Virginia win tonight, and they make the ACC championship, and maybe you get a Texas A&M win tonight, you got to wonder if that slips like a Michigan State or an Oklahoma to that last four in where they've got to play that first round games. St. John's right here in a battle with UConn could, if they were able to pull this out and were able to come back and beat UConn, could that, you know, continue to propel them into a spot where they're solidly in the field? Or if they lose tonight in a same way, if they lose this game to UConn and a Virginia or Texas A&M, somebody wins their game today, does that push a St. John's to a last four in? That's going to be very interesting. Also, if Texas A&M loses, does that push them out of the tournament and maybe put someone like an Indiana State who's sitting there as the first four out, push that in? If Pittsburgh wins tonight, they're a last four out team, does that push them over Virginia into that last four in? It's that whole bubble area is so fun and so, you know, nerve wracking, especially if you're sitting on it. But another thing that I'm looking forward to is the Tennessee loss today. You know, as of last night, Lenardi actually last night had North Carolina as a one seed. So does that more solidify Tennessee not getting that one seed and more, helps get, you know, maybe, you know, Ryan, you mentioned an Arizona or maybe a North Carolina solidly onto that one line with Tennessee, because North Carolina's already won a game in their conference tournament. And so with Tennessee not winning a game at all, does that help push more North Carolina into that one seed? That's just going to be very, very interesting to see how some of that ends up. You're looking at around eight SEC teams in the tournament right now. Does it go really? It's at this point, does it go down? Does Texas A&M fall out? Does the Mississippi State loss today or the Mississippi State win today project them more solidly into the field?
I want to see what they do with Indiana State. Their net ranking has been between 27 and 29 all week this week. If you're top 30 in net It is very hard to be left out of the NCAA tournament. They're a smaller conference team. I get it. But they are basically saying they don't care that much about net if number 27 or 28 in the net rankings is not in the NCAA tournament. There's 30-some-odd at-large spots, and we know some of the automatic qualifiers will be in the top 30 in net, too. So they're really slapping net in the face and slapping Indiana State in the face if they're not in the NCAA tournament. One seed-wise, I agree. I thought last week Tennessee deserved the last one seed, but I grade them all. And they did lose at home to, look, a good Kentucky team, but they did lose. And then they lost the very first game of the SEC tournament. I think they're not a one seed. I think it's between Carolina and Arizona. And also, by the way, Carolina beat Tennessee. I know it was earlier in the year and it was in Chapel Hill. Carolina beat Tennessee if you want a tiebreaker there. And then I think it's between Carolina and Arizona. But remember, Arizona had a bad loss at the end of last week. They lost to USC, who was below 500 this year, while North Carolina went to Duke and won. And then Carolina did win their first conference tournament game. So I think it's more between Carolina and Arizona. But I do think there's a pretty clear edge to Arizona. And if Carolina wins out here, I don't think there should be much of a debate at all there. So we'll see what ends up happening. That fourth one seed is big. You don't want to play UConn before the Final Four. You don't want to play Purdue before the Final Four. You don't want to play Houston before the Final Four. If you're that fourth one seed, you control that bracket, you would avoid those three very fearsome teams that I think are going to have good marches. We're down to our last minute or two of the show for the day. Time for a nightly TV guide.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's nightly TV guide.
Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide is presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Brooks, what do we have?
Well, I'll tell you what we've got. One movie pick for you this evening, 6 o'clock on FX. Your Marvel movie fix of the evening, The Eternals, is on tonight. Didn't get great reviews in theaters and everything. I enjoyed it, being a Marvel fan. I enjoy most of the stuff they put out. But if you're, you know, if you didn't get to see it in theaters, haven't been up watching it, you can watch tonight, 6 o'clock on FX. Rest of the sports sphere is college basketball, college basketball, college basketball, all on tonight. 6 o'clock, starting off ESPN, the ACC tournament semifinal one between North Carolina and the Pittsburgh Panthers tips off your evening. Also, 6 o'clock ESPNU. Florida Atlantic takes on North Texas in the AAC quarterfinals. Big 12 tournament action at 6 o'clock as well tonight. 7 o'clock, the second semifinal of the Big East tournament. The first one is going on right now between St. John's and UConn. Then later on tonight, 8:30 ESPN, you've got the ACC tournament semifinal two between NC State and Virginia. The AAC men's basketball tournament quarterfinals continue at 8:30 on ESPNU. Charlotte and Temple tonight. Big 12 action at 8:30. 9:30 FS1, you've got the Pac-12 semifinals underway. And of course, if you're looking for some batted ball sports, Auburn softball is allegedly starting against Arkansas in 15 minutes. Have not gotten an update on that, except that they moved the start time back to 6 o'clock, so they should be starting here in a little bit. And then number 18 Auburn, number 9 Vanderbilt on the baseball diamond, 6 o'clock SEC Network Plus. Chase Alsop takes the mound tonight for the Tigers. And that is your nightly TV guide, brought to our friends at White Claw Hard Seltzer.
Thank you very much for that, Brooks, and thank you for being here along for this longer edition of Sports Call. Hope you have a great weekend, sir, and we will talk to you again next week.
See you then.
And TP Hammock, thank you for being here on this Friday as well. I wish you a very good weekend, and we will see you again next week.
Thank you, and enjoy some March Madness.
We will certainly do that. That will do it for the show today. Had a lot of fun today on this Friday afternoon, but that will do it. As always, we appreciate all those that tuned in and called in. For Brant Daughtry and TP Hammock and Brooks Childress, my name is Ryan Lavoie. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.